Well, this morning, I'm going to next 3 weeks, this week, next week, and the following week, I'm going to be talking about something. And I warned you that I was going to be talking about this, did I not? I warned you. I'm going to talk about something that a lot of pastors don't like preaching about. And there's got to be a reason for that, that so many churches, so many pastors shy away from talking directly about these things. And the title that I gave this morning was, Your Money, with a question mark. Your money? How do I do? Your money? I have to raise my voice at the end. That's a question, right? Your money. And the part of this I want to talk about this morning is, how did it get to this point? How did it come to this point of what we think about money in the church? And I've got an answer for you this morning. It's not an easy one for me to say, but I've got an answer. Because there are a lot of people that as soon as you begin to talk about money or finances or any of those types of things, the first thing they do is they put their hand on their wallet and go, okay, now, what are you going to do? What do you want from me? Now, you know that's true. That's the way that we've come. But there's a reason for that. Now, my first question is this. How much does the Bible talk about money? Well, it talks about it, actually, a great deal. When you look at the words money, wealth, rich, riches, wages, nearly 500 times in the Scripture, the Bible talks about these subjects. That's more than the Bible talks about mercy. It's more than it talks about grace. And it's more than it even talks about faith. It talks more about money. So my question is, if the Bible considers it that important, why don't we talk about it more? Why is it the churches are not understanding the importance of knowing what the Bible says about our finances and about our money? Let me tell you the reason why. Because down through the ages, the church, and when I say the church now, understand, I'm talking about the church, and I got to get used to this. I'm sorry. There's a mirror right there, and every time I move, I think somebody's walking in the room. It's like 12 people have come in the last 30. Okay, I'll get over that. There's weird stuff going on up here when somebody's preaching. Down through the ages, the church, and again, when I say church, I mean church as a whole, have handled the issue of money poorly, selfishly, greedily, and more importantly, contrary to what the Scripture says. That's the church. Now, we're the ones that are supposed to understand how this is supposed to work. But in reality, we have come from a very different direction and we've moved away from the things that God has said. Why? Because many things have been done through history. If you're a history person, there have been a lot of things that have done through history in the name of God and in the name of the church that have done nothing more but to promote individual and political agendas. And it's still happening today. It's still happening today. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Dave. Are you telling me that all churches are crooks, that all ministers are good? No, that's not what I'm saying. There are a lot of very godly ministers who handle money and finances according to the Scripture. But there are those that also do not. And that's part of the reason why we've come to this place today. Many churches and religions will tell you and have you believe somehow that God's favor in your life is based solely on how much money you give. That's not true. That's not true. God loves us regardless of what we have, what we do, what we give. He loves us. Now, are blessings tied into what our concept is of what it is that God gives us? Yes, it is. But it's not the concept of I have to give to get. It's a concept of sowing and reaping. I'm not talking about that today. Don't get me off track. You get me all off track. Sowing and reaping is something we're going to talk about in another week or so. This morning, what I want us to understand is, how in the world did we get to this point that any time that you hear a pastor is going to talk about money, you clench up? What do you mean he's going to talk about money? This is my money. Other things. There are many churches that teach giving as a tool of guilt in order to manipulate. A lot of churches teach that way. We guilt you. Do you realize what it is that this church needs? And if you don't support this church, how is it we're supposed to do what it is we're supposed to do? That's the message that is often presented. It's not scriptural. Still others will use, now watch this, because this is where it gets difficult. Still others will use a scriptural truth, but they'll join it with a theological error and use that as a way of getting what it is they want. There are a lot of preachers that preach verses from the Bible that have to do with money, but then they take that and they join it with something else that's not of the Bible, and rather than seeing everything that the Scripture says about that verse, we take one thing and go, see, this is what it says. Don't misspell the name of the church on your check. I didn't say that to you just now. You, okay, good. I want to make sure you knew that. Now again, don't think I'm up here, well, Dave, you know, what, do you think you know everything? You think you guys are doing this perfect? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying, how is it that we've gotten to the point where anytime you walk into a church and you find out they're going to talk about money, you think, guy's trying to fleece me. Well, there's a reason for that. Let me tell you just a couple more things. We have been taught incorrectly that Jesus was poor. We've been told Jesus was poor. How many of you have heard that? Say Jesus was, yeah. You say Jesus was poor. He just wandered around and he didn't have anything. Born in a stable. He was born in a stable. Had to be dirt poor. Jesus wasn't poor. Jesus had a board of directors with a treasurer. That doesn't sound poor to me. Jesus had all of his needs met everywhere he went. Jesus had everything at his disposal. Why is it that Jesus lived the life that he did? Because that was the one that was going to allow him to do what it was God called him to do. Jesus lived his life the way he did by choice. Not because he had no choice, but because of choice. And yet we use that as a way of saying, you know, look, Jesus was poor. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a home. What the Bible's talking about there is the fact that Jesus chose to give up those things in order to be able to do what it was that God called him to do. My father wasn't poor. My heavenly father owns, like the song says, what? Cattle on a thousand hills. That's what my father, I've seen a bumper sticker before, I don't know if you've ever seen this, it says, my father is a rich Jewish carpenter. You ever seen that one? It's kind of cool. But we laugh about those kinds of things. And certainly, again, within the church, it's where now pastors have come to the place that we just feel like we've got to manipulate people in order to do the things we want them to. And we laugh about that. I heard the story. Two guys marooned on an island. It's just a patch of sand with one tree growing up in the middle. And so they land on this island, and the one guy's running around. He's screaming. He's crying. We're going to die. Nobody knows where we are. We're stranded. We're never going to make it off this island. The other guy walks over to the tree, lays down, puts his hand behind his head, and starts sunning himself. First guy comes over and goes, what are you doing? He said, I make $50,000 a week. The guy looks at him, and he starts running around again. And he comes back. He says, we are going to die. There's no way off this island. The guy said, listen, I make $50,000 a week. The guy said, that makes no difference. We're stranded on this island. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I'm a Christian. I go to church every single week. I tithe. My pastor will find us. Tithe $50,000 a week, your pastor's going to find you. Now, that is funny. That's a good one. I like that one a lot. But the sad fact of the matter is that there are too many places that we call God's house that we treat people according to how much they give. God, don't let that be. Don't let that be. It does not matter one bit to Katarina or to me whether you give a dime to this church. I've told you that from the very beginning. It's why we don't collect an offering here. If you don't come with us here normally, you're going to just, wait, aren't you guys going to receive an offering? No. Offering box is right there. If you want to leave an offering to God, that's your leaving an offering to God. You're not giving it to us. Now, don't mistake. I understand you need money in our culture in order to do things. So, you know, these things all cost money. But you know what? And I've said this before, and I don't want you to take this wrong. Hear me the right way now. You're not our source. God is our source, and he works through his people. And I'm going to talk about this over the next couple of weeks so that you're going to begin to understand, well, what does that mean? So you're telling me you don't want our money? I don't want your money. God wants your obedience. That's what he wants. And it's not about how much you give. It's not about if you give. It's a matter of understanding the principles of sowing and reaping. that the Word talks about. One last thing before I go on. Blessings from God only have this much to do with financial blessing. There's so much more that God wants to bless us with. Bless us with health. Bless us with peace of mind. Bless us with godly relationships, with good jobs, with all of those things that make up who we are, and yet our minds, thanks to the church, by and large, have gotten focused on, hey, if I don't have a lot of money, God must not love me. That's a lie. That's a lie. But I want you to understand those things. One other thing that we've been taught that I think has led to this thinking that we have in the church today is that we have been taught that in order to deny ourselves, now the Bible tells us, and Jesus actually says this three different times. He said it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He says the exact same thing. He said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. We have taken those words, deny themselves, to mean that I can't have anything in my life. The poorer I am, the better. That's what we've used that to learn about. And can I tell you that those words, deny yourself, in the original language mean this: to forget oneself or to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. That's what deny myself means. It doesn't have anything to do with what I have in my life physically. It has to do with where my attention is. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, your attention can't be on yourself. It needs to be on me and what I'm doing in the world. That's what Jesus was talking about. And yet we teach this as if somehow the poorer I am, the more God's going to love me. And there are a lot of churches that have taught this, believing that if I can convince you that the less you have, the better, when you get it, you'll give it to me. You'll give it to me. There are a lot of men and women that are in positions of spiritual authority that have terribly abused this. It's not hard to see. I looked at a website this last week, and it listed all of these great teachers that you know today, a lot of them. And I got to be honest, and I'll clarify this after I say what I'm going to say. Their lifestyles are ridiculous, a lot of them. The opulence, the phenomenal amount of money that they get personally. Now, do I believe that if someone works hard, they should be blessed? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Do I believe that God wants us to maintain and to have a poverty mentality? No, I don't. Absolutely not. But when we come to the place where there's a gaudiness about how we live, I think we need to check where our priorities are. And there are so many that are preaching the gospel today that are in that position. And again, you know virtually all of these names, that I would just want to sit down with them some point and go, do you really need a $10,000 vase in the lobby of your office? Do you need chairs that cost $7,000 each? Do you need to make $400,000 a year preaching the gospel? Now, before you think that I'm Gandhi, I like nice things. I've worked hard my whole life. I don't have a great deal to show for it, but that's okay. That's all right. God's the provider of all things. But yeah, I like to have nice things, and I like to, you know, who doesn't want to have those things? But the question God is interested in is not what do you have, it's who are you when you have those things. I'm now going to answer, why did we get to this place? All right, here's the sentence that I've been working to. Why is money such a touchy subject in churches today? For this reason alone, because churches and spiritual leaders have violated your trust. That's why money is such a hard thing to talk about in churches today. Because churches and leaders have violated your trust. And the question that we all need to ask is, do we trust those that God has placed in authority over us? Now, I've been sweating this sermon for a while here. Not because I needed to preach it. I'm fine with preaching it. I'm fine with talking about it, as I hope you can see. What's difficult for me is because I'm always so cautious about people thinking that I've got some kind of an ulterior motive for what I'm saying. Part of what we're going to be talking about tonight in the board meeting is we're going to be talking about how our pastors are going to be paid in the future. Now again, this is not about just me. I will be the first one I'll just kind of throw that out there right now, let you know I will probably be the first one. But it's not about the money. It's about establishing the foundation. But there's so many times when preachers get up and they talk about money that the thoughts in our mind, so what are you getting out of this? What are you going to get? We at Remnant Life Church are under the same authority you are. We have tithed as a church from day one. We have written checks to organizations, to ministries, to churches. It's great. What a joy that is. I'll talk about that later. Do you know giving can be fun? Listen, how quiet it got. I can hear the crickets. It all depends on the condition of your heart. It depends on how it is you're giving. But we tithe as a church, Remnant Life. So everything that you give, 10% of that, we cut a check and we send that to various ministries to support. And we've done that with a number of them. Most recently, those of you that were at our church dinner that we had on the 17th of February, those of you who came were part of that, the guy that catered our dinner, a fellow by the name of Larry Trump, is involved in a ministry that goes to, is it Guatemala? Is that right? I think it's Guatemala. It's one of those, is that right? Something like that. And they build places down there. But we cut a check and gave them several hundred dollars to help with that. That's our heart as a church. Because if a church does not give, how can I ask you to be giving to God's work if we're not doing that? So all of these things connect with that. But the reason why we think the way that we do about money in church is not because of you, it's because of us. Can I just take just a second? And if you're sitting here this morning and you have watched some things take place that you knew were not right, can I ask your forgiveness for that as a pastor and as a church? That was wrong. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to have accountability with the things that God gives us. We're supposed to be good stewards. You've heard churches talk about stewardship. I'm going to talk about this next week more. How are we supposed to handle what it is that God gives us? What are we supposed to do with it? Okay, fine, you tell me I'm supposed to, you know, I got to handle the money the right way. What am I supposed to do? We're going to talk about that. But can I encourage you not to allow what you saw to be something that robs you of the blessing that God wants to give you? God wants to bless us. And he does that through the ways that we are obedient to what the Word of God says. Now, let me keep moving because I'm running out of time. So let me get back earlier to what I said before. So what does the Bible say about money? Well, we look at it in two different ways primarily. The Old Testament talks about money primarily in the way of the covenant between God and the people of Israel, between the children of Israel. There were covenant elements of that that were put in place that had to do with money, that had to do with dealing with things that you might have lost. I mean, if you get reading into some of the law of Leviticus and all those kinds of things, you're reading about that if you lose, you know, if somebody takes your donkey, then you actually get back two goats and half a pig or something like that. I don't know. It's probably not accurate, but it talks about very detailed things about that. So the Old Testament focuses much on that. The reason for that was because you have to understand that the children of Israel were coming into a brand new life when they got removed. They had been in captivity in Israel for over 200 years. Nothing that was there belonged to them. The only things that they got were the things that the Egyptians allowed them to have. That was it. They were slaves. So when that whole nation left Egypt, they had no idea what it was to live as free people. So much of what you read in the Old Testament was Moses, by God, teaching them, this is how you're supposed to do things. And so when they became prosperous, God was not concerned about what they were going to have or what they were going to get. He was concerned with, are you still going to want me? Does that sound familiar to anybody today? It's the same questions. So if I give you a lot, what's going to be your response to me? You read about all of this, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This will all be in my notes online, so if you want to look those up. So Moses is teaching the people a new way to live. Solomon writes about money. Now, there was nobody in the Bible, probably nobody, as rich as Solomon. Solomon had everything. Do you know why God blessed him with that? Because God came to Solomon once and said, Solomon, you're going to be the king. What do you need in order to do the job? Solomon could have asked for anything, anything. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. God, I need wisdom to know how to lead these people that you've given to me? God said, good answer. Good answer. And because you answered that, here's everything else. The Bible says there was nobody as rich as Solomon. And yet Solomon even wrote about how to handle money. He wrote about it in Proverbs. He wrote about it in Ecclesiastes, the dangers of greed. Because I don't know if any of you know this or not, but when you get a lot, everybody's always satisfied with that, right? No, that's not the way that works. Our flesh nature says, if I've got all that, I want that too. I want that too. God knew that. And he spoke through Solomon in order to learn. David wrote about what it meant to have a lot. David was very wealthy as well. So there are these men of the Bible that God blessed tremendously. So having is not the issue. But then we come to the New Testament. And now we've got a new covenant in the person of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says in Matthew 5:17, it says, Jesus came not to get rid of the law, but to fulfill the law. It's not gone. Those things of the Old Testament are not gone. If they were, then why would have Jesus have quoted the Old Testament, which he did often when he was teaching? So Jesus comes and he says, okay, because of what it is that I've come to do, now you're not bound under that law. But Jesus said, it isn't that that I'm so concerned about. It's what's taking place inside of you that matters the most. My friends, that is the single most important aspect of anything that God gives us. What are we inside in those times? When God blesses us, do we get closer to God? Or do we come to the place of going, you know, I'm good. I've got this. I'm okay. Don't need you right now. Then suddenly things change and it's much more difficult. And then we come back to the place of, God, I need you in my life. God doesn't want us to have a yo-yo relationship with him. I think I just made that up. Has anybody ever heard that before? I might have just wrote that. God doesn't want us to be yo-yoing back and forth between him. He wants us to be in constant fellowship with him, no matter how good, no matter how difficult things are. My question for us many times is, can God trust us? Can God trust us with blessing in our lives? Now don't sit there and let the enemy bring condemnation, because if you're struggling with something going, well, I guess God can't trust me. No. But that's the question we need to ask. Can we be trusted with what God wants to bless us? And Jesus talks about these things. He talks about the condition of the heart. You read this in Luke 20. Jesus warns about the trappings of things. Remember, he talks about, he said, you got to watch now. He said, these guys over here, the Pharisees and the priests and all that, they've got these beautiful robes. They want to be sitting in the best places. They want the front seats at the concerts. They want the box seats at the ball games. That's my translation, so don't look for that. But he says, they want all those things. But then they'll take a widow woman and they'll throw her out of her house in order to get their things. Jesus said, I know the hearts of these people. It doesn't matter how good you look on the outside, what's going on inside. And then the time Jesus tells us in Mark 12, you can read this, he sits at the temple and he watches people bringing their offering. You remember the story? And he watches these people come and they walk up, these rich people with these great gifts, and they make such a show of leaving this before God. And I got to believe that they're waving their arms and doing all kinds of things just to make sure. Why? Because so God will see them? No, so everybody else sees them. Look how wonderful they are. Oh my gosh, look what he gave. He drove a Rolls Royce and he gave it to them. Again, don't look for that. Not a Rolls Royce. The biggest chariot. They gave all these wonderful things. But then it said, this widow woman walked up. And it said she put in what amounted to less than a penny. And she put that in. Very quietly dropped it in. Maybe even a little bit embarrassed. Dropped it in. And snuck out again. And what did Jesus say? She gave more than any of the rest of them. Because she didn't give from what she had. She gave from what? She gave from what she had. She gave all that she could give. Can I ever get to the point where God looks at me and says, you're giving because of your heart? Because of your heart. Not because of what you have. Not because of an overflow. Should we give from an overflow? Yeah, there are times we should do that. I'll talk about that later. But before we even look at any of those things, the question is, what's the condition of my heart? That's what God's watching. That's why we don't take offerings here, the offerings between you and God, because God knows the condition of our hearts. A couple things, then I'll wrap this up. On three different occasions when Jesus was teaching, he used money as a theme for his parables. Very important. Money was also at the foundation of why Judas betrayed Jesus. Remember what he said? What do you give me? I'll give you Jesus, but what are you going to give me? Money was a reason why Paul and Silas, on one of their missionary trips, were flogged or whipped and thrown into jail. See if you remember the story. This is in, Acts 16. It says Paul and Silas were traveling and they came upon a demon-possessed girl. And she was a fortune teller. And the guys that owned her were making a ton of cash off of her. Paul and Silas came up and said, "Be clean, in Jesus' name." The demon came out of her. Now she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. Now their cash flow was cut off. These guys weren't happy about that. They beat Paul and Silas, threw them in jail because they lost their money. There's a story of Ananias and Sapphira. Do you know those names? You read about them in Acts. It says they sold a plot of land that they had and they were going to give that money to the apostles for their work. It's a very noble gesture, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to do. Only they decided at some point that they were only going to give a portion of that money. Yet they told the apostles, "This is all of it." You see, it wasn't the fact that they kept some of the money. That wasn't the issue. The issue was that they said they were going to give it all to God, and they didn't. What happened? They died. God took their lives. Now, am I saying that if you're not careful and give money to the church, that you're going to die? That's not what I'm saying. That's not it. It's not it at all. But what I am saying is that when money comes to the place of occupying a place in our hearts and our lives, anything other than just a blessing from Him, we've got to understand we're not in a right place. We're not in a right place. And so my question again was, do we really believe that God cares that much about how much money we have or what things we have? Can I tell you, I don't really believe He does. I don't think how much money you have is really that important to God. How much stuff you have. You live in a 900-square-foot house or a 9,000-square-foot house. It doesn't matter to God. You make $100,000 a year, you make $10,000 a year. It doesn't matter to God. Let me tell you the things that I believe God is concerned about. What is the condition of your heart as it relates to what you have? How is your heart affected by those things? Do people know how much you have by the way you act when you're around them? I've known lots of Christians that I knew they were rich when they walked in. Was it because of the clothes they wore? No, not necessarily. It was because they wanted you to know they were rich. They took every opportunity they could to sort of mention that to you. And again, is it wrong to have nice things? Not at all. But what's the condition of your heart? What else does God care about? He cares about how you handle what it is you give Him. Or what He gives you, rather. He cares about the way you handle the things that He gives you. That matters to Him. Is your desire more for earthly well-being or for your eternal well-being? That's something else God cares about. Is it more important what's taking place here than what's going to be taking place in eternity in your life? Are you ready at an instant to give to somebody in need, or do you need first to count the cost? That's what God cares about. Are you ready just to meet somebody's need? You say, "I've only got 10 bucks in my pocket." Give him 10 bucks. I think I told you the story once before. I was working with a pastor in Carlisle at a church. Some of you actually know him. I think Larry Titus. Remember Larry Titus, some of you? I helped Larry start a church in Carlisle 150 years ago. And so Carlisle, as you know, is a big trucking area. And we were in a building that was right across the street from one of those truck areas. And a guy wandered into our building. There's nobody else there but me. So I'm talking to him. "How you doing? What's going on?" He begins to tell me this story that he was with a trucker and had gotten left at the truck stop. Said the guy took off on me. He said, "I have no transportation. I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "I can't even get a cab to go someplace to get a train or something." He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "Can you guys give me any money?" Now, we were not a church that had money sitting around, and I certainly was not in a position in the authority of the church just to give him money. But I took him to an ATM machine, and I took out, I don't know, 60, 80 bucks, something like, it wasn't a whole lot of money. I didn't have a whole lot of money, and I gave it to him. I told somebody about that later, and you know what they said to me? "You are such a sucker. Man, did you get hosed? You know what an old dodge that is? I mean, how could you fall for something like that? And I said, man, I don't even know what I said. But in my spirit, I thought to myself, you know, if I'm going to be wrong about something, I'd rather be wrong that way than to see a guy come with a need. And again, I'm not telling you this to say I've got this right all the time. There have been times when people have wanted something from me and I've not given it to them very nicely, and I need to be mindful of that, because there are people that will try to take advantage of you. But you know what? I would rather be wrong about giving to somebody, because then I know that what they do with the money, that's up to them. Did God tell me to meet that need? Then I'm going to meet the need. Can we get to the place where we can do that all the time? I don't. I'm working on it. I told you I work in Harrisburg a lot and see people homeless there all the time. Just to give them a few bucks whenever you can. We go to the Barnes & Noble. There's a guy that walks up and down Camp Hill 15. Many of you probably have seen him, a little guy. Just give them a few bucks when you can. Does it make any difference to them? I don't know. Do they say thank you? Almost never. But just do what it is that God tells you to do, because that's the condition of your heart. That's what God's interested in. A couple more. Do you determine someone's worthiness based on your perception of what they have? Do you base your perception of people, their worthiness, based on what you think they have? In Matthew 25:40, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you have done to what? The least of these, you've done for me. The least. Not only does God not care about how much money we have and what the things are we have, God doesn't care how we look. He just doesn't care. And we need to come to that place as well, church. If a homeless person were to walk in these doors, hadn't bathed in 6 months, what would we do? How would we treat this person? Dude, sit in the back, would you? Just sit in the back. You smell really bad. Does it really matter? Do those things really matter? God wants to know the condition of our heart. Last one. Here's the question again. How much can God trust you? That's the things that God's asking for. In Luke 16:10, he says, whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with a little will also be dishonest with much. Folks, I'm a firm believer that sometimes we are not blessed because we haven't demonstrated that we can handle blessing. That's the place that we need to come to. That's the place that God wants to see our hearts. You know, the concept of commerce, an exchange of currency for goods, money, all that kind of thing, that's been since the beginning of time. Money's not our creation. They've been exchanging money and coins and all those types of things since the very beginning of history. That is why Satan has taken such great pains in order to use money to be able to separate us from God. It's a way that we can bless, but it's a way that the enemy, because the Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. What does it say? The love of money is the root of all evil. And love has to do with what's in here. And so I started off this morning by asking, why is this such a touchy subject? Why is it that people get so nervous when they're at church? You will notice I've not said anything about giving to Remnant Life. I've not said anything to you about, I think you need to do this or need to do that, and you will not hear me say that. What you have heard me say is that what we have, whether it's our money, our possessions, our time, all of those things, God wants to know the condition of our heart as it relates to those. And so this morning, I just would ask that you would ask God, Father, how do I feel about this? Am I a hoarder of things because I have to have money? I have to have things. Am I willing to give things to people if you tell me to do that? Am I willing to do without so that somebody else can have? Those are the things that God is asking us. Those are the things that He wants us to be most concerned about, because that's what He cares about. My friends, this is not an easy thing. It's not easy. The economy of our world makes this tough. It does. There are a lot of folks that have to grow into learning how to tithe. Have to grow into it. You're not going to hear me going, how come you're not tithing? You're not going to not get a hug from me because you didn't put anything in the plate. I don't even know what you put in unless you put your name on it. I just want you to know that God loves you just the way you are. That God loves you no matter what. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you every day. And again, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I would just encourage you to take the opportunity to do that. You say, what does that mean? It just means one thing. You just admit that you're a sinner. You acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you ask Him to come and to live in your heart. You say, well, what does that do for me? Does that mean I'm going to get rich? Not necessarily. Might. I don't know. Hey, let's all hit the lottery. Let's just all hit the lottery. That'd be fine. Then we'll go buy our new church building, wherever that might be. But it's not the most important thing. The money is not the most important thing. And so as we pray for one another, let's pray that way. Let's pray blessing over one another. Let's pray prosperity. Let's pray health. Let's pray for us to grow in all things. But in that, let's pray that our hearts always remain right before God so that He can trust us with what He wants to bless us with. Heavenly Father, I just thank You, God, again, that You love us just the way we are. Father, I cannot buy Your love. I can't give and somehow then, God, think, well, now You'll like me and things will be better in my life. And Father, I pray that each and every person here will know that our love for them has nothing to do with what they give. But Father, we want to see the fullness of all that You have for every one of us in this room. And sometimes, Father, that comes to the place of, are we willing to give of who we are when You tell us to in order to be obedient? And those things aren't always easy. But Father, there are principles in Your word that You have given us that are true. And so we hold to those knowing that regardless of what goes on around us, You never leave us, You never forsake us. And Father, I pray if there is anybody here this morning that has never acknowledged You as their Lord and Savior, that the single greatest decision that they will ever make in their lives is to invite You to come and to be Lord. Father, I pray blessing over each and every person here. May we leave this place anxious for an opportunity to serve You and to bless people around us. It's in Your precious Son's name that we pray these things. And say it with me. Amen. Amen.